Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Oasis service at Church of the Lakes. We would love for you to join us in person on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.oasisfaithcommunity.org.
Good morning. I appreciate the grace and changing up the order this week. Although it keeps us on our toes, right? When we have to do things a little different every once in a while, knowing that God can work, still work in our lives, and God still meets us even when services are changed a little bit. I want to start with a question. Do you have a desire to hear God's voice? Serious question. Do you have a desire to hear God's voice? This past winter season of small groups, I helped facilitate a course, a Bible study called Alpha Course. Alpha is an introductory course on Christianity, and created by a guy named Nicky Gumbel out of England. And one of the weeks, Nicky Gumbel referenced a pastor who said that if you want to hear the voice of God, read the Bible. And if you want to hear the voice of God audibly, guess what you do? Read the Bible out loud. Every week, my hope is that you hear the voice of God in some way in this service, primarily through the reading of His life-giving Word. And, you know, hearing God's voice, I think, edifies, it encourages, it challenges. My hope today, in light of our conversation, is that it'll also motivate you to go from this place to shine Christ's light and share the love of Jesus in a world that is full of hate and darkness. We have been in the midst of a series on Moses, and I'm going to pick up the story in chapter 3 of Moses, where he meets God at a burning bush. Many people are very familiar with this story, but listen to God's word. And as I read it, maybe try to see yourself in the story. And maybe God is not so much speaking to Moses this morning as he's speaking to you. Listen to God's holy word. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses answered, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land to a land that's good and broad, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and last but not least, the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So go. Go, and I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses responded to God in this way, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" But God said, "I will be with you, and this will be a sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses again said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow to speech and slow to tongue." But the Lord said to him, "Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go! And I will be your mouth and teach you what you are to speak." This is the word of God for the people of God. Hear it, believe it, and live. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for your life-giving word that speaks to us in such profound and mighty ways. Lord, my prayer is even in this moment, people have already heard your voice today in this space, But if not, Lord, my prayer is that over these next few moments, as we offer reflections on your life-giving word, that your voice is heard loud and clear, a voice to go, to be who you've called us to be. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, we are only 3 chapters into the book of Exodus, and we have already gotten through a lot of Moses' life. 80 years of his life, to be exact. And over the course of the past 3 weeks now, we've looked at some of the defining moments of his life and how those moments helped position him to finding and fulfilling his purpose as not only a great leader of Israel, but a great liberator of God's people. So we started on week 1, and we looked at Moses' birth narrative. In that week, we were introduced to a number of women, one being his mother, Jochebed, who Jochebed, defying the decree from Pharaoh, hid her son. Pharaoh issued a decree that all the Hebrew boys would be killed, and she defied that decree, hid her son from Pharaoh. You see, Pharaoh was concerned because the Hebrews were overpopulating the Egyptians, and they posed a threat to his kingdom. So he wanted to kill him. Jochebed, knowing Moses was set apart for a divine appointment, chose to hit him instead. Not only did she hide him, however, she, along with her daughter Miriam, also devised a plan to get Moses adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. It worked. Moses grew up in the palace of the man who sought to kill him. And in that palace, he learned many important lessons to be a great leader. Lessons such as construction and economics, leadership, custom, culture, so on and so forth. Well, the first 40-year slot of his life ended when he killed an Egyptian slave task, a slave driver who was beating a Hebrew brother. Moses, in a moment of witnessing this injustice, took matters into his own hand. Again, killed that slave driver. Pharaoh, to make a long story short, caught wind of what Moses did, wanted to kill Moses. For obvious reasons, Moses was fearful for his life, and he took off and ran away, ran to the desert, to the land of the Midianites. Now, for the next 40 years, he'd live in this wilderness amongst the Midianites, and I believe learned more important lessons, not only to be a great leader, but great liberator. And these lessons were in things like humility, self-discipline, self-preservation, faith, and probably the most important lesson Moses learned was how to hear the voice of God. Now, this second chapter in Moses' life ended when he was 80 years old, and as I read this morning, it happened when he met God in a burning bush. It was an encounter with God, church, where Moses was giving his barking orders, so to speak, where Moses was being called to go back to Egypt, to answer a divine appointment, to free, be God's instrument and bring freedom to his children, to bring them through 40 years of desert wandering and lead them into the promised land. Hey, Moses, question for you. Do you want to hear the voice of God? I can hear Moses say in light of the burning bush, well, if it's to give me a warm, fuzzy feeling inside or make me feel better about myself, then yeah, I want to hear the voice of God. But if it's to actually do something, you know, we all want to hear God's voice a little bit more in our lives, don't we? You know, I think one reason why we come to church every week and gather in this sacred space is truly to encounter God. Amen? It's to be edified, encouraged, to experience healing, to be given direction, to find hope and purpose. I believe God is found in sacred spaces. In Exodus 3, the author gives witness that where God is holy ground. Now, in my mind, these sacred spaces can be either created or stumbled upon spontaneously. This place you're in right now is a sacred space that has been created. During the week, it's a gym. It's an activity center. But on Sunday morning, it is created as a sacred space and then recreated each week that follows. You know, one reason your worship leadership invests so much time in preparing this space for God encounters is because that's our purpose. That's our intention. We want you to encounter God here. Maybe you encounter him in the music, in the praying, in the reading of Scripture, in the message delivered, maybe just in fellowship with one to another. But again, the intention is the same. It's for you to encounter the living God. Sacred spaces can be created. However, sacred spaces can also happen spontaneously and in unexpected ways. What do I mean by that? Friends, we don't need God's permission. God doesn't need our permission to show up. Amen? God does what God so chooses to do. For instance, I never thought the road would be a sacred space for me. But over the years, that is what it has become. In fact, every time I lace up my shoes and go out and run on the road, my expectation is that Jesus is running alongside of me. The first time that happened was back in college. I was out running one of the roads near our university, and Jesus met me on that road unexpectedly in a spontaneous way. And I've never been the same since. It's honestly one of the reasons why I think I'm addicted to the sport. I want to find myself daily in sacred spaces. I meet Jesus on the road. The road is my sanctuary. You know, this has got to be how Moses felt at the burning bush. I mean, why on earth would God show up in the middle of a wilderness to commission an old, worn-out man to go back to Egypt to be his liberator? Sacred spaces, it can happen in spontaneous ways. Let me ask you a question as we drive this conversation forward. Where have you stumbled upon God's presence in your life? How has God come to you in spontaneous ways and in unexpected places? You know, for me, it's the road. For Moses, it's a burning bush. What is it for you? Is it nature? Is it inside your car driving? It's certainly not my sacred place. Where is the sacred space that God has created for you to meet him each and every day? Friends, here's the thing with God encounters. Whether they're happening in created or spontaneous ways, hear this. A response is always expected. Friends, wherever we encounter the living God, we never leave the same. Amen? No, we have been formed. We have been transformed. We have been called to do something for God on his behalf. We are called to respond to the encounter. This is what I see happening in the Moses story here in the burning bush. God's just not showing up there to say hello, shake his hand, and depart, is he? No, he's showing up to give Moses a holy mission that he must accomplish if God is to be glorified and neighbor is to be loved. God is meeting Moses to give him a holy mission. Wait, go back to Egypt, Lord? Be your liberator? I tried that 40 years ago and it didn't work. That's crazy if you want me to try it again. Crazy thing God's asking Moses to do. But church, again, Moses just encountered the living God. What does that mean? A response is mandated. Something is expected of him. He will never be the same again. Let me ask you another question as we move this conversation forward. What crazy things has God asked you to do throughout the years? Is it to lead a Bible study? Is that a crazy thing God's asked? Is sing a solo in church? How about share a testimony or give a witness? What crazy things is God asking you to do? Maybe go on a mission trip to some remote part of the world where you need a slew of vaccinations to go just to feel a little safe. Is that a crazy thing God might be asking you to do? How about this? Could God be asking you to forgive that person that broke your heart? Friends, whatever the crazy thing that God might be asking you to do, what is usually our initial response to that request? It's hesitation, isn't it? Aren't we all like Moses? We are so often willing to hesitate instead of respond to God's purposes for our lives. And we, like Moses, hesitate for two reasons. We hesitate because we don't feel credible to speak on God's behalf, and we hesitate because we don't feel able. That's what's happening to Moses here in Exodus 3. Let me remind you, God is asking Moses, he's heard the cry of the Israelites. He has seen how they have oppressed the Jews. So God says to Moses, I am going to send you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. And this is Moses' response. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? Friends, Moses lacks the credibility to speak on God's behalf. And any credibility he thought he may have had, he lost 40 years ago when he tried to lead God's people and they refused to let him lead. Do you remember that story? He just killed the Egyptian slave driver, goes out the next day to kind of interact with his kinsfolk, sees two brothers fighting, and he says, guys, what are you doing trying to mediate conflict, trying to help them come to a place of resolve? And one of them looks at Moses and barks at him, who made you ruler and judge over us? I thought I was supposed to be a leader, but maybe not. So Moses takes off, runs into the desert, leaves behind any of his perceived credibility he thought he had. His power, his status, his socioeconomic status leaves all of that behind. Friends, here's the thing Moses didn't understand until this moment at the burning bush. Something I don't think many of us understand 100% of the time. The credibility to speak on God's behalf, hear me, is not given or earned. It's ordained from above. What do I mean by that? Power, position, and socioeconomic standing does not give you the credibility to speak on God's behalf. What gives you the credibility to speak on God's behalf is your proximity to the King, amen? It's your relationship with Jesus. The closer you are in your relationship with Christ, the more credible you are to speak on God's behalf. Let me say it this way. A church title does not give you credibility to speak on God's behalf. I'm an ordained pastor telling you that. Church title does not give you credibility. Wealth does not give you credibility. You know what gives you credibility? Humility, kindness, faithfulness, obedience, and love. All things that you develop when you're in relationship with who? The King of Heaven, with Jesus. Moses becomes a credible witness for God because, one, God ordained it, but two, because of his proximity to God. There is a verse in Exodus, later on in the book of Exodus, it's one of my life verses. It's something I aspire for my relationship with Jesus. I'm not there yet. I want to get there. But this verse, I think, just testifies how close Moses was to God. The verse is this. The author says this of Moses. Moses spoke to God face to face as a person speaks to a friend. That's close, isn't it? Moses, I can hear God say, you're credible. Why? Because I am with you. Over 100 times in the entirety of Scripture, we see this promise of God repeated over and over and over. Have no fear. Why? Because I am with you. I will be with you. Friends, when God says go, when God says give, when God says serve, when God says forgive, when God says love, we need not worry about our credibility, our witness. Why? Because God's promise is that he will be with us. Again, his proximity gives us our credibility to speak on his behalf. All right, the second reason Moses hesitated to answer this call into his life is because he didn't feel able to answer. I read it for you. Let me read it to you again. Moses says this to God in Exodus 4. Oh, my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow to speech and slow to tongue. What's Moses saying? Lord, I'm not properly equipped for the task at hand. Lord, I think you got somebody else in mind. You made a mistake. I know my limitations better than you know my limitations. And I'm telling you, I ain't the guy. How many of us lament the same things when God asks us to do something? Lord, I'd love to tell people about Jesus, but I'm just not good with words. Lord, I'd love to serve on a Habitat build, but I'm just not good with my hands. Lord, I hear you. You're calling me to help mentor and minister to at-risk youth, but I'm just not a people person. Lord, I would love to fill in the blank, but I'm just too small or too young or too old or too poor or my favorite. I'm just too busy. God, here's God's response to Moses. Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak. Translated in our context, God will equip you if God has called you. Amen? Well, what's that Christian cliche? God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. So again, you need not fear that you won't be able to do anything for God. If God has equipped you and called you to do it, he will equip you. You know, in all honesty, our hesitations to answering God's call in our life, you know what it boils down to? Boils down to pride. Now, I say that because when we believe that our limitations supersede God's purposes for our lives, you know what we're doing? We're making it all about self. We're making it all about me. And last I checked, it ain't about self. Who's it about? Jesus. So when we make it about self, it's prideful. Friends, it's about allowing God to use us to fulfill his purposes, to bring him glory, to love thy neighbor. You know, friends, I believe with my whole heart in closing, you have met God in this place, amen? You have met him in this sacred space. He has spoken to each of us, and he's saying to us to go, to throw away the feelings that we aren't credible or able to do anything that God is calling us to do, and just go. To go knowing that God goes with us. To go in faith to the places we live, we work, and play. To liberate. To liberate people who are enchained and shackled, mind, body, and spirit. Jesus is calling us to go offer people his love, to break them free from chains, the chains of bitterness and rage and anger, the chains of depression and despair. He's telling us to go and open up the prison doors, to set the captives free, to give people a life of hope and purpose. Friends, hear me. You have been given the power of God's presence in your life to fulfill your purpose. Don't miss it. To fulfill your purpose, to shine his light, to share his love. So I bid you this morning, go. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving God, to hear your voice, I think brings us both celebration and trepidation. God, it brings us celebration because we want to hear your voice. We want to be called your beloved. We want to be encouraged by your words. But God, it brings trepidation because often your voice is a command to go, to serve, to forgive, to love. And Lord, we oftentimes don't feel equipped or able to do those things. God, I pray in this moment that we draw close to you in such a way where we gain the faith necessary to know you go with us to those places, that you, being in relationship with you, gives us the credibility and the ability to do whatever you're calling us to do. God, we have a world that is full of darkness and hate that needs the love and light of your Son, Jesus. My prayer, Lord, is that we commit ourselves to stepping out in faith and being and doing who you've called us and what you want us to do. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.